All right, kids. In today's show, we have news about the Disney Band Plus wearable technology being now coming to a Disney Cruise Line near you. Annual pass holder sales are back. Headline news, trivia, and so much more on this week's Disney Plus or Disney Parks Podcast.
Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times. And get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
All right, welcome back to another version, chapter of the Disney Parks Podcast. I'll tell you the Disney thing I did this week, and then I'm sure you did something too, James. So Saturday night, I went to the brand new reimagined Narcosis at the Grand Floridian Resort. This is
2.0.
Yeah, 2.0. This is the one that sits all the way out in the water, out away from the main building. I was kind of shocked that they didn't make it bigger. It's still the same tiny footprint. All new chairs, all new table, new flooring, new paint job, bar, new bar. The new top to bottom. Yeah. From what the manager told us, they really gutted it down to the studs and then almost rebuilt the restaurant. And at that point is when I said to him, well, why didn't you make it bigger? And he's like,
Wasn't there a two by four we could have removed here, maybe, or there?
And I said to him, I said, you know, if you look at this, because it's a very tall building inside, you could have put a second floor. And, you know.
For sure.
That would have been fine. You know, had two views out of the building. You know, take the roof off, put a second floor, put a roof on that, and it'd be done. Anyway, they did it. Let's talk about the thing that everybody wants to hear, the food. First of all, the pricing for this is not for the weak of heart. So you could get a surf and turf, a lobster, and a filet mignon, and that will only cost you $87. Okay.
I mean, if you're used to spending $100 a plate, you know what you're going into.
Well, you could add shrimp to that too, and that's only like another $23 or whatever it was. If you want to make sure it's over 100, then you can add an enhancement to it. You'll certainly be over 100.
It'll surely be enhanced.
Yeah.
At the end of your meal.
Yeah, it'll definitely be enhanced. We started with the beef brisket tortelloni, which is a little bit bigger than a tortellini. Yeah, so it's a little bit bigger than that. It was delicious. The parsnip puree underneath, the sauce on top was terrific. It was just really very tasty. And then I went with the blackened redfish. So it's a very flaky white fish, and it was delicious. Everything on the plate was out of this world. I mean, I would have licked the plate if they allowed me, but I got as close to licking it as I possibly could. And then Tamara had the roasted vegetable paella, and that was, she said, bursting with flavor were her words. So I think I had a couple pieces, and it was good. It was very good. And then we had this chocolate hazelnut bar for dessert. So it was like two chocolate sponge with a little layer of strawberry topped with like a hazelnut ganache and then chocolate poured over the top. And it was quite delicious. Quite delicious. Everything on the menu, here's the weird thing. When you typically go to a Disney restaurant, there's always some kind of beef, some kind of pork, some kind of chicken, some kind of fish, and some kind of vegetarian or now plant-based thing. This does not conform to the Disney standards. There's
the status quo.
Yeah, there's no chicken on this menu.
Huh.
Now, it was partially by design and partially by accident they left chicken off the menu, but they do have chicken stocked at the restaurant if you wanted to substitute one of the things that have fish with a chicken item because you don't like fish or you're allergic to fish. So they do have chicken, so ask your server, and if they can accommodate, they certainly will do that. We had a great server. If you go, ask for Desmond. He was really on point, terrific, explained all the dishes, and just a really nice person and a really nice guy. He used to work over at, where did he work? Chico.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And then Matt, the manager that was on duty when we went, was also terrific. And he was running the whole second floor of the Poly, so Kona and Ohana food places. And he was great as well. So ask for Matt. Tell him we said hello. But yeah, I'm going to definitely tell you to go try it once. There are some cheaper options, like the vegetarian paella is a little bit on the cheaper side. I believe there's a shrimp bocatini pasta on the menu too. So there are some cheaper options, a little less than the $87 surf and turf, if you so go there.
Let's brief the synopsis here just so everybody does know. They are saying the average price is $35 to $59.99.
Well, there you go.
Obviously, that surf and turf is above and beyond this menu. We can also add accoutrements to this, or plus up your meal. According to what Disney is saying, they run, looks like every day from 5 to 9:30.
Yep.
Dress code is your standard signature dining dress code. Proper, clean and neat and good condition clothing, no swimwear.
Yep.
And also, you can always visit their menu on the Disney website. They are still offering two perks available right now. The annual pass holder discount for 10%.
Yes.
And they are offering the Disney Visa card member 10%.
Yep.
Looks like right now DVC has been excluded, considering they have a DVC building. I don't know why.
Yeah, exactly.
But
yeah, we did use the annual pass holder discount, which, you know, I'll take any more money on my side of the table than Disney's, you know. So
sounds great.
Yeah, reservations are hard right now, obviously, because they just reopened and everybody is trying to get there. I was able to get my reservation through our friends over at Touring Plans. If you are a Touring Plans subscriber, you can use their dining finder. So you pick a date and a place that you want to go and how many people, and it will search the system. And when it does, it sends you a text. Immediately click on it and immediately go to the reservation. And that's what happened. So I happened to have my phone in my hand. It came up. I was like, ding, boom. And I was able to get a reservation. So I don't know if you can find one these days, but if you can, good for you. If you have a hotel reservation, you probably have a better shot at that. So that's another route. There are other ways to do these Disney dining finders, but I trust our friends at Touring Plans more than I trust others. So that's it. All right. What did you do, Disney James?
I did a little movie watching, like always. Typical movie watching. I saw a movie that we all know did come out and did very well. Mario.
A Super Mario. I'm a Mario. I can't believe Chris Pratt is Mario.
But it was, honestly, couldn't tell the difference.
Really?
It blended. Yeah, it was very, very well done. Very, very good movie. I was happy to see the outcome of it.
Who played Luigi?
Not that it, off the top of my head, I cannot remember right now. But it was there was a lot of big name actors. Obviously, Jack Black was in there playing Bowser. A few other people. I can't name them all off the top of my head, but
yeah.
But it was a very good movie. I thoroughly enjoyed it. If you're any old time or old Nintendo players or game players, it's definitely up your alley. There's a lot of throwbacks and nods to older stuff in there and newer stuff too. Yeah. Other than that, you could have found me out at Disney Springs pretty much the rest of the night.
Yep.
Until whatever time I decided to leave, which was halfway late in the night, but did some lunch over at Splitsville. If you haven't been, or Splitsville had to change it up, but
it's at the opposite end of where you normally are.
Oh, and I went to the opposite after that.
Of course you did.
did some lunch over at Splitsville. Awesome. And we had had the Thai chili chicken and rice bowl, which was actually really good. Ooh. It used to come with the sriracha Thai chili, I believe, which was a little bit spicier. So I think they swapped out the sauce for just a standard Thai chili, which was a lot better. I'm not the biggest spice fan, but it was really good. Two other people with us had the fish and chips, which is a pretty good staple there. Their fish and chips is fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. Susan had the goddess salad, which she generally standard as. And if you have been or haven't been, I always recommend the sushi. They have probably one of the best sushis down in Disney Springs.
Yep.
I know it's a bowling lane, but trust me, you need to try it.
I know.
It's worth
it.
I
know. It's right up there with Marimoto's sushi. I would put it right next to that, and you won't.
Go. Yeah, I haven't tried Moto's, but it's they're. I send a lot of people to Splitsville for sushi, and it is.
Yeah,
I've had them come back and tell me.
Yeah,
that it was worth it. Yeah. So other than that, there was the
time I went to Haleo and didn't get enough to eat, and went to Splitsville for sushi for the car ride home.
I think I remember that time.
you were there with us.
I'm pretty sure I was.
All right, this food is horrible. I'm going to go over to Splitsville and get some
next door.
Can I get a spicy tuna roll to go, please? That's what I eat in my car right home.
Man, make it two. I'm going to eat one on the way.
My way back to the car before I get the other one. Oh, God.
We did some tours around Superman.
Yeah, I have to go see Super Mario. Yeah, it'd be interesting. Be very interesting. Very cool.
Made a little tour around Disney Springs and also stopped at the boathouse for some refreshments.
Of course you did.
If you haven't met the fine staff at Boathouse, please go say hi, and you won't be disappointed.
I'm gonna go see them Friday. Should we for a specific server? Who's your server of choice there?
I have several. You could ask for a number of people. Marcus is generally there almost all the time.
Okay.
I haven't seen a few of the other regulars that I see, but I did see Marcus this weekend. So if you're looking for a guy with a slightly New Yorker attitude, and not really attitude, but accent kind of. He's quite the character.
The problem is, if I were to ask for Poppy Marcus, they'd probably be like, that's another 40-minute wait for Mr. Castlenova. Because all his tables are booked up.
We just sat them all, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, all right, I'll see what we can figure out. All right, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's get into the news.
And now, Disney Parks Podcast News.
All right.
Well, we are going to start off with introducing Disney Band Plus wearable technology on Disney Cruise Line. Yes, you've all guessed it, the time we've been waiting for and everything we've figured. Magic Band Plus technology will now be used on Walt Disney World Resort and Disneyland Resort. Will start and make its way to the Disney Cruise Line, beginning with the preview opportunity on select Disney Wish sailings before it officially debuts at Disney Cruise Line, calling it Disney Band Plus. We like the plus. It's a big thing. So I believe I've read a little bit, saw the video on this. There are going to be several different styles and designs. Also, it will work from everything to your hotel or stateroom door to your purchases, your dinner purchases or extra dinner purchases, your merchandise, castaway key, anything that everything they dock at, but whatever is theirs that they dock at, that they can have, you can use it. Yep. I'm going to ask you this one, Tony. Mm-hmm. How do you think about this?
I don't wear a magic band when I go to the park because I have this, my watch. Now, if they somehow allow like a digital key for this, you know, to replace, because I use this for my passes. I have a watch. I don't need something else on another wrist.
I have a watch.
You have many watches. So
I have a lot.
So why would you want to wear something? I'm not a fan.
I'm not either. I like the concept, but
yeah,
I can see me trying to turn this into a keychain.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, like that little pendant thing. Yeah, if I could, you know, pop out the middle, like we used to be able to do, unscrew it and then put it in something like a little, you know, lanyard thing, I'd be fine with that. I'd do that in a heartbeat. I don't think you can with the new Disney Plus Magic Band. Yeah. The other thing I thought was weird is this will be good for kids, too, over at the Oceaneers Club and Scuttle's Cove, a Castaway Key. I thought the kids had their own, you know, special band.
Looks like they'll be swapping them out then for this as well then, because they already, I guess they were kind of the first to start this magic band technology. Because when you go to a cruise, if no one's been on a Disney cruise, for those who haven't actually, when you go and check your child or your kid into the Oceaneers Club or the any of the other clubs, they get a wristband and that wristband allows them access to the clubs for that kid. And they're able to be not lost also.
Right. The other thing is a photo pass. So if you have your picture taken, you'll tap your magic band for that. And the thing I don't like about the new version of the Disney Magic Band Plus is you have to charge it. If you forget to charge it, it becomes useless.
It's done.
Then it's just something you're wearing on your wrist that has no purpose anymore.
And bring a backup battery, because I have been told that they don't last too long, depending on how much you do with them.
Yeah. I've heard it doesn't last an 8-hour day in the park. So bring the cable with you and bring a battery, because you may wind up having to recharge it. So I hope there's other ways. Like I said, I hope they just, you know, I could do it with the app key, put you know, like the Disney Plus Disney Experience app, you can get the key for your room on that. Hopefully on the Disney Cruise Line app I can get a key for my room on that. That'll be fine. Then I could just use my phone. I'll be fine with that. All right, next up, annual pass sales are back. Starting April 20th, you will be able to purchase a Disney World annual pass. They've been halted since the pandemic. If you had one, you could renew it. If you got rid of it, and tried to get it back, you had to beg for mercy, and at the kindness of some cast member's heart, some people were able to get theirs back, and some were not. So it was a roll of the dice. The quantity of passes will be limited, and passes or pass type may become unavailable for purchase at any time. So apparently they've said, oh, we're only going to sell a 1,000 of these, a 2,000 of these, a 3,000, whatever those numbers are. I don't know what the numbers are. I'm just throwing those numbers out. Whatever those numbers are, you may go say, hey, I want a pirate pass, and say, oh, sorry, we sold out of that one for now. And then you may have to come back at some other time to do that. For eligible DVC members, they've got great news, as they will have the opportunity to purchase DVC Sorcerer Pass online beginning April 13th. That's 3 days from now, as part of your membership magic benefit. So they're giving you a 7-day jump on the public to go get your annual pass back.
So all of you on the 20th, I would just start looking at the one below that, because they're probably no longer be limited, more like extinct.
Yep, exactly. There's still a whole bunch of perks to this. You do get on-ride photos, not photo pass, but on-ride. If the ride takes your picture, you can have that in your feed on your My Disney Experience app. And then beginning on April 18th, annual pass holders can visit theme parks after 2 p.m. We've mentioned this twice now, so this is the third time. It's a biggie. The only exception to that is Saturdays and Sundays at the Magic Kingdom. And then, obviously, pass blackout dates still continue to apply. So they haven't lifted any blackout dates. So if you do buy a pass,
they haven't lifted any in forever, so they probably will never go away.
So I would go check out the annual pass holder page. Go do a comparison of the passes. If you can live with blackout dates, Pirate is great. You're blacked out for most of the summer. Nobody wants to go if you're a Floridian. It's hot as Hades here. And then the holidays. Hotter. Yeah. And the holidays. And there's no sense to go on Christmas Day because it's a zoo. So, all right, James, what's the next item on the list?
Next item on the docket is the Disney CEO Bob Iger shares updates on Journey of Water at Epcot and new Moana live action film. Disney held its 2023 annual shareholders meeting, which I wasn't invited to, where CEO Bob Iger shared some exciting updates surrounding Moana and the transformation at Epcot. Let's take a look at some of the fun things we have in store this year. Let's see. Although I've heard the water has been turned on to test in Moana, so that's exciting. Bob highlighted many of parks and resorts' newest attractions with a nod to the future, including one exciting announcement about Journey of Water inspired by Moana at Epcot. This new attraction will give guests the opportunity to playfully interact with water just as its inspiration Moana did. Also, a live-action Moana film is in development from Walt Disney Studios with Dwayne Johnson reprising his role as Maui. And they're so excited to continue sharing this beloved story.
Yeah. The announcement that Dwayne Johnson did with his kids, I think, was epic.
It was really good.
Yeah. It was the perfect thing, especially at the end when he goes, sisters, goes, hey, is Dad Maui? And the kids are, no. Do you want ice cream? Yes. Then Dad's Maui.
That's it. Yep.
Fantastic. Sorry if I ruined it for you, but go find it on the internet somewhere.
It's everywhere.
Somebody posted a meme. They took the animated Maui and then put Dwayne's head on it. It was just awful.
Oh boy.
So
some things blend very well and some things just They just don't.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. You know, there'll be some CGI because Hey and some of the other animals are obviously, you know,
rather unpredictable in real nature.
Yeah. Exactly. So it'll be interesting. Anyway,
I don't think we can hope the chicken stays on the raft.
Right.
At all. No.
Exactly. All right. Hey, Salt and Straw is bringing back beer ice cream for a limited time. So in honor of National Beer Day, which was on April 7th, Salt and Straw is bringing back their beer ice cream. It is known for its unusual ice cream flavors, Salt and Straw, obviously. Unique ingredients like blue cheese, potato salad, bone marrow, crickets, duck skin, and sea urchins. Ow, that's some pretty crazy ice cream. This month, Salt and Straw locations nationwide, including Disney Springs and Downtown Disney District, are serving a flavor that beer fans might enjoy. It's called Mango Habanero IPA Sorbet.
Which, I did see that on the menu this weekend, so it is there.
Right, which only contains a trace amount of alcohol. So I would say go try this. I mean, how bad could beer ice cream taste? Right?
I don't see why. I mean, obviously, in my opinion, the mango habanero will be a little bit more overpowered than the IPA anyways. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
If you're down in the area and you try it before we do, let us know.
Yeah,
exactly. Drop us a line.
Exactly. Love to hear it. All right, what else we got?
Let's see. A Catal restaurant in Downtown Disney District to close after 22 years.
Ouch.
Catal restaurant, one of the original restaurants in Downtown Disney District at Disneyland Resort, will serve its last customers on April 14th of 2023. That is only 4 days away.
Yeah.
The changes in the Downtown District and Disney District continue to be out with the old and in with the new as Catal Restaurant and its nearby outdoor Uva Bar closes their doors at the end of the day, April 14th. The modern Mediterranean restaurant opened in 2001. Locals and tourists alike appreciated the upscale locale as the quality food, service, and views gave diners an excellent experience. Catal Restaurant will serve dinner and weekend brunch until the end of the day on April 14th.
Very nice. Oh, did you ever eat there?
I have not, no.
Yeah. I ate there on one trip, I think probably the first trip, because I tried to eat as many restaurants as possible. I was like, all right, I'm going to have lunch here. I'm going to have dinner here. I'm going to have lunch here. I'm going to have dinner. So, I'm pretty sure I ate there. I know I did. Food was good. So, you know, hopefully they'll replace it with something cool and, you know, we'll just move on.
Well, Patina owns it, so I'm pretty sure it'll be a new Patina restaurant.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
All right.
If you don't know, they own everything else.
Exactly. Hey, last week we had a trivia question. The trivia question was, who says, quote, unquote, sweet mother of Abraham Lincoln, unquote? And the correct answer was Jesse.
Donkey.
Jesse. And believe it or not, nobody got that correct. So, sorry. No, that's pretty crazy. All right. This week's trivia question is, who does Woody rescue from the yard sale? Who does Woody rescue from the yard sale? If you think you know the correct answer to that question, send your answer to disneyparkspodcast@gmail.com. All right. So Bob Iger appoints the first ever chief brand officer. So Bob Iger, the CEO of the Walt Disney Company, announced on Thursday that Asad Aiza has been named the company's first ever chief brand officer. It's a newly created role reporting to Iger. This person will be responsible for stewarding and elevating the Disney brand globally across the entire ecosystem of the company's touch points and consumer experiences. Will also continue as a president of marketing for the Walt Disney Studios, overseeing all aspects of marketing and publicity for the studio films and series, as well as Disney Plus globally, reporting to Disney Entertainment Chairperson Alan Bergman. As the chief brand officer, they will be responsible to develop and execute a holistic brand marketing campaigns, leveraging and synthesizing the company's full suite of content and consumer experiences, advocate the brand internally and externally through partnerships, and provide guidance and alignment for the company's digital and social media strategy and presence. They will also set the corporate synergy and franchise priorities in consultation with the CEO and the lead global consumer research and analytics function focused on Disney brands and franchises will inform actionable cross-platform initiatives. Now, back in the Eisner days, there was a synergy officer, and we interviewed this person way back. She wrote a book about Disney synergy. And it was the fact, like, if, you know, if a movie was happening, that everything within the Disney company kind of threw their weight at whatever that movie is. If it was something new happened in the park, then everybody would throw their weight at that, so that there was a complete synergy of, you know, parks are in line with movies, movies are in line with parks. And I posted a long time ago, I think I still have somewhere, Walt drew a diagram, Disney Studios in the middle, and then everything came off of this, like, you know, parks, animation, merchandise, came off this. And it was a great photo. If I have it, I'll post it again. But it was a great illustration of how the Disney company should operate. And I think they kind of do follow that in a kind of weird way, probably in a more modern, contemporary way than Disney envisioned it back in the, you know, 50s and 60s. So it's very interesting that, you know, they've kind of went back to this. I mean, I thought the synergy officer was good, but this may take it to another level. So we'll have to wait and see what happens.
He has a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
It's a mouthful.
Oh, definitely. All right, what else we got?
Let's see here. Two Walt Disney World restaurants added to the Michelin Guide.
Ooh.
Walt Disney World vacation doesn't have to necessarily be all about theme parks or roller coasters. Mm. Oftentimes, adult-only visits to Disney are in order, especially when you want to experience a higher-end restaurant for a special occasion. If you've considered yourself a foodie, you might be interested in knowing that two restaurants have been joined to the Michelin Guide for Orlando. Victoria Albert's at Disney Grand Floridian Resort and Spa. Nice. And Toledo Tapas Steak and Seafood Rooftop Restaurant at Grand Destino Tower at Disney Coronado Spring Resort. California Grill and at Disney's Contemporary Resort and Citricose at Disney's Grand Floridian are both already on the list, and rightly so they are.
Cool.
So if you're looking for something new, they have now been added, these two new restaurants. I have been to one of them.
I've been to one of them as well.
And it's one my wallet and yours can afford.
Toledo.
And Toledo was great. I loved it.
I've been there several times. I do like it as well. Victorian Albert's, it's just the whole suit up thing. I live in Florida. I don't want to suit up. You know,
I do want a cruise ship around February.
I do want a cruise ship, and maybe I should just. And I went to Remy, which was extremely expensive. So maybe I should just shut my mouth and just go one time. Anyway. And hey, listen, I've been talking about California Grill for a long time. You know, my complaint now at the California Grill is two things. One is you can never get a reservation. I don't know when you can get one. I don't know how to get one, but you can't get one. And I hate the price fixed menu. Why can't we go back?
Was that the last time you were there? You went with you and I. We were there. Was that during the 50th?
Yeah.
The price fixed menu, I think, right?
Yeah. It's I just wish that I don't know. They got away from it. I really wish they got away with it. Anyway, let's talk about DVC. So DVC is reducing the amount of points that you need to minimum purchase when you start a new contract. According to signs posted at Disney's Vacation Club booths around the world, new members can get into the program with a purchase of just 100 vacation points now. The number of points required to buy in has been proven rather fluid over the years, and at one time, the minimum purchase was as high as 230 points.
Wow. That's a lot
of points.
That is a lot.
Other times, it has been set to 200, 160, 150, approximately 10 years ago, it was a 100-point buy-in. My minimum was 160 when I purchased back in the day, so I get it.
I think when I went in, my minimum was 100.
Really?
Actually. Man. So it was a thing that was on for a while, and it disappeared for a very long time.
Wow.
I don't currently have 100, though.
Yeah. So it's interesting that they're lowering this. I don't know. Maybe they don't have, you know, as many people wanting to opt in, you know, and the amount of points depends on.
Maybe they need a hotel, four rooms to build.
Yeah. The amount of points that you need really depends, right? It depends on the room, depends on the time, depends on what day, depends on the resort.
Where you live.
Yeah. There's a lot of factors that go into how many points you need. How big is your family? Do you need, you know, a two-bedroom? Do you need a grand villa each time you come? So
how many times you plan on coming down? The variables are endless, actually.
Yeah. And then recently, you know, DVC has placed more emphasis on building studio rooms with the addition of nearly 400 studios at the Polynesian villas and bungalows, you know, where they took over the one long house there. 200 villas at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa, a heavy studio presence at the forthcoming villas at the Disneyland Hotel. So the new building that they took over at Grand Flow is primarily studios. So I don't know, the amount of, you know, is the family size shrinking, or are more retired, maybe grandparents coming not bringing anybody with them? They're like, hey, we're going to Disney for a week, we'll see you later, goodbye, and they're gone.
What did you prefer, Tony?
I didn't prefer a studio because I always felt like that was a hotel room with a kitchenette.
Yeah, I was always I'm more of a one bedroom. I liked having the full size kitchen and all the amenities, even if I didn't use them.
Right, I agree.
You had a little bit more room to walk around in.
Yeah, a full size refrigerator is great because obviously you can put more things in it, more beer, more soda, more water, whatever you're gonna do. And hey, I'd like the option of maybe having breakfast in my room and not having to go out and get it every day. Or, you know, I mean, I have cooked meals in my DVC, you know, which is probably
more than a lot.
Yeah, which is probably more than most people do, because I don't think everybody, maybe some people do. Maybe I'm completely off the point there. But so contracts with as few as 25 points are available via the resale marketplace. So if you go to any, you know, DVC reseller, you can get some 25 point contracts, but you're not going to get those directly from Disney. So go out, reach out to one of those DVC resellers. I say, DVC by resale, Chantel does a great job. I like her. That's where I sold mine. I think she did a great job. And then remember, if you do buy it through the resale market, you do lose some of your perks.
Yep.
Some of your membership perks and benefits are non-existent. So, like member lounges, discounts, dining, extra magic hours, all those things disappear when you purchase at resale. So just keep that in mind. It may be great, you know, if you're going to need more than 100, maybe you get the first 100 from Disney, and then if you can get the rest resale on the cheap, do that. At least you won't lose all your benefits. Because 100's not that bad, but that may not fit every family's need. All right, James, you ready for a little headline news?
Yes, sir.
How about a little headline news?
And now, the headline news.
All right, let's start with the new Disney Munchlings coming to Shop Disney and Disney Parks. I'm not a collector of these. I'm sure you're not either.
I believe these are the new scented pillow-esque.
Yeah, something like that.
I did happen to go through World of Disney yesterday, and I think there's a Baymax one that looks like a s'mores. That's new. That was there yesterday over the weekend, which may, if you're into these that well, they may not very well be there anymore.
Yeah.
But they were there and they were full.
There you go. Over at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, most of the cultural representatives are back. And these are very interesting people. They are from the home country, and they do have great stories to tell. And if you see them in the lobby, I would definitely stop and say hello and find out their story, where they're from, and things like that. So do that. The May the 4th is coming up. This is April 10th, so it's just around the corner. Shop Disney is launching May the 4th collection. So get your wallet out, get your clicker out, start bookmarking, and get ready.
Disney Visa card ready.
Exactly. Stella Lou's Wonderful Wishes Ballet begins limited engagements at Hong Kong Disneyland. So Stella Lou is in line with Duffy. If you're a Duffy fan, you'll know who Stella Lou is. And there's a whole thing going on over in Hong Kong. As James mentioned, water has been added to Journey of Water attraction at Epcot. I'm surprised they're calling this an attraction. It's really not an attraction. Isn't it an attraction? It's a walking experience.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I would have called it. It's not an attraction. Anyway. Harmonious barges are being disassembled, and they are going bye-bye. Is everybody happy about that? Because I think most everybody's happy about it. Listen, some people liked it. Some people didn't. I think most hardcore Disney fans were like, why did you put that in the lagoon? So I think people are glad to see it kind of go away.
I will be interested to see what comes next. How's that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Speaking of Harmonious, I did see Happily Ever After from Narcosis. And if you do dine there, you can stand out on the balcony at 9 o'clock and watch Happily Ever After. And they do pipe in the music, so you get the full-on experience. And you also get to see the water pageant first, because it comes right out in front of Narcosis. So there's another benefit. Hey, over at Chicken Guy, they have a new limited-time Huckleberry Shake.
I'm gonna pass. I don't know.
I haven't tasted Huckleberry. Maybe I have. I'm not sure. I don't know. What does Huckleberry taste like?
Huckleberry Finn.
Yeah, I was gonna say, does it come with some Finn? Anyway. Hey, over at Epcot's Norway Pavilion, there's a new Frozen Photo Pass location has been added. So if you need your Frozen, it's just a background thing. It's not the characters. It's just background thing that you can go take your picture. If you obviously, if you can't go meet Anna and Elsa, this background is going to be the next best thing for you. The walkway between Shades of Green and the Poly is closing, probably due to the putting in the new tower. There's going to be some construction. So that's
as the other one was closed, this one is closing now.
Exactly.
But the other one's open again. The other one's open. So stay tuned for a reopen.
Yeah. So this is closing for now. They haven't said how long or whatever. Also on the analyst announcement, CEO Bob Iger says that Disney Premium Passport, now this was allowed
this
you
was
East Coast,
park.
West Coast, right, will not be returning. So if you had one, don't look for a new one because it's not coming back.
No.
Bob says no. They also changed their open flame ban. They are now banning open flames and limited grilling. Probably because we kind of have a drought here in Florida. And
we haven't got rain in forever.
Yeah, and Bob would not see the resorts burn down. So they're putting a little kibosh on it. I think that stinks for the campers probably more than anybody.
Yeah. Because
they're probably the ones that would be barbecuing and doing things like that. Anyway, it'll be interesting to see how they work around that. Like, if you're at a campsite, not a RV site, but a campsite, and barbecuing is your kitchen, you know, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow. If you're traveling around the Poly and Grand Floridian, there's going to be some additional road work. It'll be interesting because, you know, how... Where they're building the new building is kind of like a choke point, you know, where Grand Floridian Way, and I can't remember then the other street that goes in front of the Poly, you know, it has that weird, you know, turn off the Grand Floridian to the right or turn off to the left to get back onto World Center Drive. So I have a feeling that area is going to be the rehab choke point. I have a feeling that's where some of the road will
There's a lot of road work over there.
Yeah. Some new characters are coming to Star Wars Galaxy Edge. Not in any attractions, but walking around, you'll be able to meet even more new characters at Galaxy's Edge. So if you're a Star Wars nerd, this is right up your alley. Disney World also improved the navigation on the navigation for mobile order with My Disney Experience. So, if you go in there now and you click on order something, it gives you a whole different presentation of how you do this, which is a little bit better, I think. It certainly gives you more options. So, it gives you something that looks like this now. And then you just click these little arrows to see, you know, where you are. And now they got every resort all in one place. So
they kind of cleaned it up a little bit easier.
Yeah. Yeah. They did a pretty good job on
maybe,
that.
Maybe one day it'll tell you you were in the wrong restaurant.
Exactly. Exactly. Tron Light Cycle Run attraction and area soundtrack is now available to stream. So anywhere you can get Disney music on Spotify or wherever, you can now stream.
We're downloading that now.
Yep. Festival of the Fantasy Parade continues to run with multiple floats missing. So I think the last one was I heard the Brave float was now missing. Like Merida's on some other float. I don't know. Are we getting a new one? Are things breaking? I don't know. Let's just get a new one. Can't we? Please? Please? Star Tours. There's an attraction you haven't heard in a long time. Star Tours is getting an update with new adventures in 2024. So they're probably like, hey, nobody wants to see this when they can go over there and see that. How do we get people to get back on this? I know.
Let's do that.
New adventures. Yeah. Let's give it an update. We haven't done that in a bazillion years.
Yeah, since the last one.
Yeah, exactly. And the last but not least, and the most interesting, is
Hyundai
announced a limited edition Disney 100 Iconic 5 vehicle. So this is going to have like a special... What do they call that?
It's supposed to have a special thematic lighting on the ceiling or the roof, and then
on the display. I guess
displays, a few other areas in the car. Yeah. I've seen a brief picture of
Disney badge on it.
The 100 badge, yeah.
Yeah. So if you go to the Hyundai website, they're saying that this is going to be limited. Like, they're not going to make a bazillion of these. So
they're going to make 100.
Yeah. So if you're going to... want to buy this car, it's probably a very long wait list, I would imagine, already since this announcement at the New York Car Show. So I don't know. I don't know how I'm torn between, oh, that sounds pretty cool, or do I need a Disney car? I don't know. Probably not. Would you buy one, James?
No.
No? Okay.
I mean, it looks really nice. I don't think I could do it. I don't know if I would want to stare at all the badging for another 8 years or whatever my loan would be past the 100 years of magic.
Yeah. We're doing a lease, but it's 400 years on this car. All right, kids. Hey, that's it. That's all we got. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you're looking for some more Disney content, head over to Patreon, patreon.com/Disney Parks Podcast. We have two additional shows. One is about Disney Plus, and one is our show called Extra Magic Hour, where we just banter about different Disney topics. And this week it's about Governor DeSantis and his crazy antics. So go check that out.
And the hijinks.
And hijinks, exactly. Anything else we got, Mr. James? Last thoughts?
I don't think so.
All right. As we like to say around here, kids, if we don't see you online, we'll see you at the Disney
in the Parks Podcast.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a pool out of the blue, eight steps in and sees you through.